It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Telly time.
They fake it to Jones.
Oh, they miss.
Love. Fumbles the football and it's recovered by Brisker right before he went out of bounds. I think Stevenson was the one who knocked it out of the hands of Jordan Love.
Recovered by the defense.
He changed. This is such a huge play. Green Bay's in the driver's seat. They end up changing the play and they're going to go.
Oh, the helmet knocked it out.
It did. And this defense is unbelievable at creating turnovers. Everyone flies around. It's going to be Bears ball, but miscommunication gives the Bears a chance.
Oh, yes, indeed. You're listening to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that is our hot and cold. We're going with Tyreek Stevenson, the cornerback, the reigning defensive player of the week. He's hot. He forced a turnover, a very important turnover at that point in the game, and unfortunately they couldn't take full advantage of it, but nonetheless he's continued to play well. He's been improving as the season has gone on. I believe he was the seventh corner taken, and he's done better than the six guys taken ahead of him. If you break down all the statistics, so he's hot and cold. Well, I think Luke Getsy, who reused his game plan from week one, apparently. If you text that out, we'll call him cold. He's got the Valus Joe Memorial Cold Trophy. And that, of course, is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911.
Wait, Molly, we couldn't go with Valus Jones as hot just to change it to 2024. I think he averaged 28.4 yards of return on kickoffs. I mean,
yeah,
we've been running him through the mud all season. I mean, he went out and performed.
If he's if he's available next year, maybe
okay.
If he makes the team, I mean, are you claiming now that he's their
no.
kick returner
no.
extraordinaire?
He went against the terrible Packers special teams.
Yes. They were,
that was a good call, too, Pat, on the special teams, right? The field goal, they missed the field goal. Mm-hmm. And it looked like, you know, LaFleur is probably going for that extra yards late in the half because he doesn't trust his kicker
yep.
there, right? Try to get him as close as possible. And like you said, the returns were all good. So you said in the pregame show that could be an advantage for the Bears, and it was.
It was at the beginning, and then they just got out of. Then we got manhandled up front. And we couldn't get anything going.
I do think that Valus is, I think, Sean Sears, thank you for the suggestion. We're calling him lukewarm. So he's not hot and he's not cold. He's kind
perfect.
Of,
that's an improvement.
That's a huge jump.
He played his best game of his career in his last game as a Bear, maybe.
Nowhere to go but up.
Yep.
I know we'll look back on this and we'll have a much better answer, but there seems like there are a lot of players. There's going to be turnover on the roster, let's put it that way, because whenever you talk about having a lot of assets, that indicates that there are roster spots that will not be remaining available. And I'm just curious, you know, you heard from Ryan Poles in the pregame, and he talked about all of the possibilities that you can have with the first overall selection, and that includes perhaps trading out of it again, perhaps adding more picks this year, next year. You know, again, we talked about this. I don't know how often it happens, but nobody's ever traded the first overall pick 2 years running. So it's a little interesting to contemplate what the roster will look like, but I'm just very curious to think your thoughts on that.
Like how much turnover or certain players?
There's always 30% turnover, right? It's just the nature of the business. How will there be more or less as a result of what they believe to be a team on the rise?
I think what they've done, they've improved the roster, right? We've talked about that, matching them up against other teams. I think there'll be the same amount of turnover, but I think there might be depth guys that are going to be better. There are going to be certain spots where now you can go get a stud center or draft a center. Maybe you need another running back to go with Khalil Herbert. I think he has one more year on his contract to have another running back that's better than them, than Roschon Johnson and him is just a pure runner. Maybe that's a position as well. I'm just looking at the roster right now, just kind of going through position by position where you would need something. Braxton Jones could be improved. You know, does Darnell Wright turn into being your stud right tackle? Do you need to worry about that? I don't know. D-line-wise, obviously, I think three technique can be improved. I think Justin Jones, to me, as I call him, NFLers, the guys that's a backup that would be a good backup for a rotational piece for that D-line. And or another guy with DeMarcus Walker, could you upgrade that position? Linebacker, you're obviously set. And then what do you do with Jalen Johnson? If he goes, do you try to bring in another corner that's, you know, middle of the road, but a decent player money-wise? What do you do with Eddie Jackson is another big question. And I wonder, you know, he spoke this week about how much he loves Chicago, and I think he's due, what, $14 or $15 million? Right. Would he restructure for two more years or something like that just to stay here? And to me, his play is not what it has been, but also, Olin, I don't know if you agree or not, I think you also pay for some people's minds, right? Players that are out there that get guys set up, can understand the defense, recognize things, get guys playing at a higher level because they can communicate and get people playing well on Sundays, and also what they do maybe in meetings and what they do at practice and just helping guys grow. You know, I think that's a hot topic for a lot of Chicago fans. I've got a lot of people that text me all the time that hate them. Some people like them. But those would be the positions I think that you would worry about that are frontline players. But then after that, they're in a good position now to get good backups for like a game today when you have two injuries on the front line. You bring in a Cody White here and another better player at center, then you don't feel as uncomfortable as you do with those two guys coming in.
Yeah, I think there's going to be more than a 30% turnover, right? Like Pat is talking about, whether it be depth or you know, the number one position, the two positions you think about is all competition at offensive line, competition at wide receiver, and getting yourself another tight end in there, right? Because you see when Cole Kmet is nicked up, and then a scat back, right? A guy who scares you out of the backfield. If you can get a guy like Aaron Jones who can do everything, even though he's in and out, you know, you want a guy like that, but a third down back who can run Texas routes and things of that nature out of the backfield, who really scares people, right? Mm-hmm. The Bears need more speed on offense. They need guys who scare you and guys who come down with the ball. And then Pat said very well about the depth on defense, right? The depth on defense there. And just going to be interesting, right? I think it's interesting to look at through the league and go through every team by team, and even the playoff teams, and ask yourself, if you had the number one pick, would you be evaluating your quarterback? I think for most of these teams, the answer would be yes. Mm-hmm. Even the teams in the quarterback.
That's a great
even
point.
The teams in the playoff, the answer would be yes.
So 312-644-6767. We've got some callers who've waited patiently. Michael is on the south side. Hi, Michael.
Yes. You know, two things. First of all, the offense, I think you can't talk about this because, first of all, he was under siege. You know, Jenkins got beat twice on sacks, right? Jenkins got beat twice on sacks. He never had a chance to get the he was already in the backfield already.
Are you talking about Fields? Fields had no chance? Is that what you're saying?
He had no chance whatsoever. Okay. I mean, and then as far as defense, I don't know what happened with the two quarterbacks, like opposites. Jordan Love, I mean, he was throwing balls up in the air that was in the air for so long. Yeah, how did it, how in the heck did that not get intercepted? I don't know. He was not. There was no window. There was no tight windows there. These guys were there. Zero separation. I mean, literally, they was wide open.
Yeah.
There was nobody within 15 feet of some of the receiver.
Okay. You know, we talked about they lost on both sides of the line of scrimmage. What was your take on Tevin Jenkins? You know, they're beaten up in the middle of the line. I'm not going to pretend like they had their starting center. I don't know how good their starting center is, but they were manhandled. Kenny Clark, God, that guy, I mean, they're going to have nightmares about him tonight. What did you think on those two elements, guys?
Yeah, they had a rough day, right? They had a rough day on the offensive line, but to your point, Molly, guys were out, but guys were out for the Packers too, right? And they would be, it's that time of the year, right? And the caller's point is Justin Fields is under siege, and he was right. Justin Fields was under siege. The O-line was struggling. Tevin Jenkins did get beat pretty quickly on those two plays. And as far as the defense goes, I think an interesting question Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles have to ask themselves is, gosh, I mean, Coach Eberflus, does everyone have to be healthy for your defense to stop people, right? Does Montez Sweat, does Jalen Johnson, does everyone have to be there? But I do go back to the fact that they only gave up 17 points. And I was laughing when Michael was bringing up, because I was wondering too, like, what the hell is Love doing when he was floating those balls in there on those out routes? But they were working. They were catching those balls. And it just is, Pat, we as analysts, you're trying to say things before it becomes a topic of conversation, right? And that's why we said 2 or 3 weeks ago, you might want to consider changing the play caller.
Yeah.
So you don't get to the point of, and everyone says, like, when you say that, oh, what's that going to do? Right? But then three weeks later, everyone's yelling about Getsy's play calls. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's a problem, right? What that's going to do? What is that going to solve? It's going to solve not getting to this point of asking the same damn questions.
Yep. Well, listen, Pittsburgh did it. Mike Tomlin did it. Where are they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're on their third quarterback, right? They're in
the playoffs. Hard decisions.
They're in the playoffs. Yes,
the hard decisions, Pat.
Yeah, and that you know gave him another winning season, and he got in the playoffs. Albeit, I think the last seed, but still, he got in the playoffs, and that changed that franchise this year. Their offense was struggling, right? And he said, "All right, I'm going to get rid of Matt Canada and say I'm bringing in." I forgot who's the OC is now, but those are hard decisions, and that's a lot of power to him for doing that and seeing that. And now he got himself in the playoffs and gave him a chance. I don't think it's a good chance, but they're in the playoffs.
There was a rumor at one point that the Bears were looking into Mike Tomlin, that if Mike Tomlin were somehow released, that would be a guy they'd be interested in. At least that was one of the many 100,000 rumors that were floating around. You know, the Cubs obviously dumped their head coach to get Craig Counsell, who is the manager of the Brewers. If there were a coach that were available, or, you know, surprisingly available, Olin, I don't know how you feel about Jim Harbaugh. He's now hired an agent in Don Yee. I don't know if you believe he's going to lose tomorrow night, so maybe he'll stick around. I don't know how you feel. But
I know you want to talk about these dogs. Go ahead. You want to talk about Washington? Let's talk about these dogs.
The last 40 minutes about that's the championship game.
Let's
feel a lot better.
These dogs. Finally, I was wondering when we were going to get to this. No, Molly, to your point is, I would love it, man. I think me and Pat. I don't want to speak for Pat. I would love a personality like that at Halas Hall, right? Someone who walked in. Ruffled some feathers, made people uncomfortable, told people exactly what they wanted done and get it done.
Yep.
Right. And if Jim Harbaugh is that kind of guy, I don't know Jim's coaching style. I've only heard stuff about it, but I heard, you know, he's a different kind of guy. Great. That's what they need. Mm-hmm. Right. Mike Tomlin, he's going to be demanding. He's going to set a standard. When I hear him talk, how can you not love that guy? Yes. Great. A guy like that would be awesome to go in there and set a standard. Right. You worry a little bit. And it doesn't mean a whole lot, but you worry a little bit when you hear things like, you know, I want to be his sunshine, his water. It's like we've had a lot of that around here at Halas Hall, right? Where, you know, we don't win and we don't have the quarterback, but gosh, everything else is great, right? Or we are going to hire a new president, but guess what we're going to do the year before we hire him? We're going to hire everybody for him, right? Like you just want at some point them to try it another way.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, I think about it. I go back to 2013 when it was Bruce Arians or Mark Trestman. Mm-hmm. When I heard Bruce Arians, I was so excited.
Right.
I'm like, I want to play for that guy. I want to be in that building. You hear all the stories about him, his personality, and Olin, like you said, he's the one that tells it like it is. I like that style of coaching. I could not wait. I thought for sure that was the one. I heard this guy, Mark Trestman, and I'm like, excuse me, what? How is that even a discussion about you're not bringing in Bruce Arians? Bruce Arians goes to Tampa, wins the Super Bowl. Yes, he gets Tom Brady, but I could not wait to have him be my head coach, and I thought for sure that was going to happen. But I also wonder, was he not brought in because he would ruffle feathers and his personality and all that kind of stuff? And maybe things will change now with Kevin Warren making these decisions, but I remember that, and I was like, this is going to be fun playing for this guy. This is going to be a blast going into Hallis Hall and listen to this guy talk and motivate us, but they decided to go the easier route, I think, with Mark Trestman, and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Let's try Mike. Mike's in Rockford. Hey, Mike. Mike. Oh, no. Mike stopped listening. He's just distracted. Let's try Larry's on the west side. Hey, Larry. Oh, no. Larry?
Larry's with Mike.
Yeah, Larry and Mike are probably talking to each other, waiting to come on the show, for God's sake. That's my fault. We kind of lost track of what we were doing here. I'm really kind of excited at the various possibilities. And Mike's back. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, I was saying something. I don't think you could hear me. I'm sorry. I appreciate the call. Taking time here, guys. Here's my thoughts, okay? He's not a pocket passer. The Bears came in with almost a third string center, Feeney. And they got Clark on the other end coming, the nose tackle's coming at him. And they didn't roll him out. They didn't do a bootleg. Getsy's got to go. But then you look at Fields, and like you guys said earlier, you know, Jordan Love has all this talent. He doesn't have any talent. He's got rookies. And he's making throws like freaking Aaron Rodgers. And we're giving all these excuses for Justin Fields. What did Jim McMahon say 3 years ago? He said Chicago's where quarterbacks go to die. I think he's pretty correct in that, guys. I hate to say it, but I think they got to just clean house and polls as to hire an offensive coordinator coach, someone who's a really good coordinator as a head coach, and then hire a good defensive coordinator. You got the core unit of the defense. They're young. You got Montez Sweat. They could build around this and go from there, guys. What do you think?
Oh, man. I mean, I think we got 3 months to worry about that. You know what I mean? I think we're coming off a game where the Bears just – they got, like, pretty much whipped. And I'm talking about physically beaten up. You know, they managed 9 points. It is just – I don't know that I feel – like anything is okay right now.
No, and there's so many opportunities or avenues you can take with this franchise now. The answer to me is just do the right thing, whatever it is, because there's so many ways to go about it. Let's just hope that Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are the right people to make these right decisions. And like I said before, let's let George McCaskey, please let them do their thing. Give them all the resources they need to do. Let them be the new eyes and brains at Hallis Hall to figure this thing out, because it's been the same way for 25 years, 30 years now, whatever it is, that they need to just let them do their thing and just hope they make the right decisions. But there's so many decisions to be made. Let's just, you know, hope they hit on 85% of them, and then I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, get us to a point of we're not excited about the off season anymore, right? We're excited about season.
Yes.
We're excited about the regular season, the postseason, in season. You're excited about. Everyone's not excited about beating Atlanta in Week 16 and lighting cigars and acting like it's a Super Bowl.
Oh boy!
Right, and we're you know, you were hoping you wouldn't have to say that today, but that's what we were worried about when you were watching that reaction last week, right? Which ends up being overreaction since the New Orleans Saints put something like 48 on the Atlanta Falcons, right? And I think they gave 30-something points in the last three games, every game. So it's just kind of, you got to always take a look at things and really study, you know, like you're talking about, Pat, like let them do their job. But also, you know, the guys doing the job, make sure you're studying everything about Chicago's history and how we got here and how it keeps repeating itself.
Yep.
And let's somehow stop it.
312-644-6767. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Telemordu on the Score.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Telemordu. When it's game time, it's Telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Third and five, 11th play of the drive. And there's Love in trouble. Wrapped up back at the 25-yard line. DeMarcus Walker.
DeMarcus Walker, welcome back to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Telemordu. DeMarcus Walker with that sack. That is the hit of the game. That's right. Sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. I love my hammer. I love my axe. I love Estwing. And yeah, pity they didn't have more of a hammer, right, guys? I mean, they needed more of that.
Yeah, big play by him, too. They're knocking him back, and then, you know, the Packers kicker comes on and misses the field goal. I think they were on the 15, ends up being an 8-yard loss. A big sack there. Could have helped them if the offense would have scored a little more points.
I felt good at that point. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, here we go. There's a break. And then just it didn't work out. It's just to me, guys, looking at the – just going through the stats during the break, just, you know, only 46 plays for the Bears, 60 for the Green Bay Packers, and just seeing a score of 17-9. You know, Justin Fields said he always wants 28 points. That's his goal. They had two trips in the red zone, only came away with 6 points. They couldn't get in the end zone. Just a disappointing game all the way around, and they just got dominated statistically, you know, with 5 sacks to 1 sack, just all that kind of stuff. That it, to me, it was 17-9, but it felt like a worse win, a worse loss to me. I don't know about you guys.
I just feel congratulations are in order for Cairo Santos.
Yeah.
You know, finished above 90% for the season. He was already at 91.5 or something, and then hits all three of his field goals. And, I mean, that must be nervous making when you're looking at a 50-yarder and the thing ricochets off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nice. It's nice that he hit it, but with money on the line, God bless him.
Yeah, if that doesn't go in, he doesn't get his money, right? That puts him below, I think that puts him below 90%. Yeah, good for him, though. That's and he also broke Robbie Gould's franchise record for most field goals made in a season.
Wow.
He's put together a pretty darn good season and a darn good career so far with the Bears.
Yeah, it's just, you know, from a former center's point of view, it's like the Packers beat us, and now the only thing we have to celebrate is the kicker.
Yep. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. Wait, who's hot? We got to change
this
that.
This is where we are right now in this era of Chicago Bears football. But, you know, interesting to talk about the Bears only scoring 9 points, right, Pat? And talk about, you know, in the first game, you know, in the first half, they also struggled in the red zone. So just something else that Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, when they're doing the evaluation, you can sit in a room and you're like you're saying, Pat, it seemed like the first game, the game plan didn't change much. I'd like to put both films up and watch it with them.
Right.
Right. And while I'm making my decisions, talk about, okay, what was your plan to the adjustment, how they stopped you in the red zone last time, and things like that as we go through where the fans are wondering what is the evaluation process. I'd like to be interested to know how they will evaluate Coach Eberflus, Coach Getsy, the rest of the staff, Justin Fields. What are they looking at? What kind of things will get them to their final decision?
Yeah, and only 16 passes. You know, some people texting on the text line about that. You know, they only had 46 plays, but how many of those were straight dropback? You know, that's the thing that we know that he's not good at. We tried the first 4 games of doing that with him, and it does not work well. You start moving around the pocket, he started to play better. The team started to look a little bit better. I just am scratching my head at this game plan of why he kind of force-fed the same thing he was doing at the beginning of the year. It doesn't make sense with Justin Fields and his skill set. When you got him out of the pocket, in the fourth quarter, he hit Khalil Herbert in the flat for a little 15, 16-yard gain. I was like, oh, maybe he's figured it out. Maybe he's going to start doing this. Next thing you know, second long, third and long, 5-man protections, sack, sack. You know, it's just it wasn't helpful to Justin Fields today. And I guess when I go back and look, that's one thing I'm going to tally up is how many straight dropbacks there were compared to moving him out of the pocket of 16 passes.
I had a few O-line guys text me throughout the game and say, well, when your O-line is struggling, five-man protection is not what you want.
Yeah, so right.
Even people who were watching the game kind of knew what was going on, and that the Bears' O-line was getting overwhelmed, but it just seemed that it kept going back to their five-man protection. But I go back to what we talked about earlier, right, and what we asked for 3 weeks ago, to look at a new play caller so we wouldn't be here the last week asking the same questions.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like, if you have two backup linemen in there, isn't it naked and boot all day long? Isn't that kind of the easiest block? I mean, you just...
Well, the game's close too, Pat. It's not a blowout.
Right.
It's not like you have to force anything down the field. And the first thing they did after Tyreek Stevenson's caused fumble is fake the toss and drop him straight back in the pocket and try to take a shot that way. So it was an interesting game plan, to say the least, but not shocking at all for me.
You know, at one point late in that game, they did a tent check, a concussion check on Justin Fields. It's like they waited a play, and then they took him out, and he was back before you even noticed he had gone. I mean, it was a really quick and weird kind of moment where they checked him for concussion. What was your take on that?
Take it, Olin.
That he was okay.
Yeah,
that's what I think. You know, I
was waiting for this.
Motel 6 last night, but I'm not a doctor.
That's what I was waiting for. There it is. That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, I don't know. Pat, as you know, and you guys all know, and Pat knows, I've coached football for years, little league on a young level.
Right.
Very important that they take care of these players with all the new information stuff they have. I got to imagine they did their due diligence there. Yeah. I know it seemed fast, but I can't imagine after everything that happened to a guy who went to my high school, Tua Tagovailoa, everything that happened to him last year. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine they're making those kind of mistakes still yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just, you know, if you want to talk, he was down on the ground and kind of staring at the ground. I think he was, just my personal opinion, I'm not a doctor, I'm talking about why he was sitting there with his head down. I think he was upset there was no flag. Like, really, another shot to the head and I'm not getting a flag, or another, you know, I'm sliding and there's no flag. That's just what
he
I saw from
get
there.
Flags.
Yeah,
it's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. And I mean, I've tried to be polite about it. Maybe the officials don't understand, you know, that he's human, because you get caught kind of ball watching when he's running, but he never gets a call.
No.
It's weird that he never gets a call.
It really is, and weird and frustrating, too. Mm-hmm. And to Pat's point, to the caller's point earlier about, at some point just overreact. You know, if you're an offensive lineman, take a personal foul.
Yep.
You know, make a point there in that stadium at some point, because this is not the first time we've been – now it's kind of like a month everybody's been talking about this, or even longer. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been talking about these shots that he's taking, and Coach Eberflus has been asked at his press conference – and they said that they sent him into the league. And then at some point, when you're playing your rival, you're on the road, and your team needs a little jump start, I just think maybe you miss an opportunity there for a moment to get behind your quarterback and get your whole team behind you.
Yeah, even Teddy Bruschi went on the ESPN pregame show. He's like, let me go on a tangent. He went on a tangent about Justin Fields and not getting the late calls. And that's a guy who's has no affiliation with our team or whatever. And it just – he feels the same way, that it's not fair. And he's a defensive player saying that, which is shocking.
And what that just tells me is that Teddy's really good at reading Twitter. Yep. Good for him.
Oh, man.
Him and Ocho, they're together.
Yes.
And this guy, of course, this guy, Clay, whatever his name is. Yeah, Clay, all those guys, Twitter guys.
Yeah.
Give the people what they want, Olin.
No doubt.
That's the point of all this stuff.
Yep, that's been my game plan my whole life. Give people what they want.
Oh, yeah. You're constantly ingratiating yourself. George McCaskey talked about it the other day.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I wish them luck up there, man. They got all this. It's kind of like, Pat, I don't know how you feel, but it's like smoking a cigar in the locker room after week 16 after the beat Atlanta. It's great, right? But it's just like being excited about the offseason. It's just kind of like you're celebrating the wrong things after.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know how long you can continuously celebrate that, the wrong stuff, right? It's like I read somewhere that Ryan Poles text Kevin Warren, we locked down the number one pick. You know, awesome, man. Yeah. You know, congratulations. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really, and I know it's a good thing, and I know it's exciting, and you're going to add people to your team. I just don't really know how to feel about all of that after a while.
Yeah, you know? Just back to the cigar thing we talked about in the pregame, that I felt two ways about it. One, I thought it was stupid, because you don't do that after beating a sub-500 team in Week 16. The other thing, I thought it was cool, because the team came together, and they're all celebrating together, and maybe that's something that brings you together. But then you go out there, and you play a game like this. You underperform, you get beat physically, you get beat up front. So to me now, it looks like that was stupid. It was stupid to be smoking cigars after the game. But I'm not in that locker room. I don't know what's going on, but that's for me from the outside. But if you're going to do that, back it up with a good performance. Go beat your rival. Don't be 0-9 against Justin Fields. Go ahead and win a game against our number one rival. You know, it looks bad now after watching this game.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
All right. We got one segment left, sadly. We will be
no playoffs?
We'll be closing it out. The playoffs don't. Oh. I think we're going to do playoff games. Just
just to see what it feels like?
Just
to practice for next year?
We won't even broadcast it.
Just we'll us just, three.
Yeah, we'll just call each other.
FaceTime.
Hey.
Zoom it.
Yeah.
We'll Zoom it. Yeah. Maybe we'll go on Twitch if that is a thing. Whatever. Why don't we do it on TikTok? Maybe my kids will see it.
I don't have TikTok.
Yeah, it's my only way of getting a hold of them. I don't have it either. I don't even know what the hell it is, but let's do a dance. All right, we got to close it all out. You're listening to the end of the season here on the fantastic Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew on the Score.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time.
You know what I did do it. I gave it my all, so whether it's here or not, you know, I have no regrets. Shout out to, you know, you guys for, you know, making my job a little bit harder. But, just to the city of Chicago, love y'all. Appreciate the fans and the support from all the Bears, you know, in case this is my last rodeo with y'all. And just appreciate y'all for everything. So, thank you.
It is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. What great sponsors, right? Great Clips. We've all had one, and it is great. It's going to be great, and they're great. And Tullamore Dew, man, Mully and Tully, come on now. That's a match made in Irish heaven. We want to thank them for their wonderful contribution. And, guys, that, of course, Justin Fields saying his goodbye to Chicago, and it, we've yet to determine that he's gone, but the Bears do have the number one overall pick, and so there you have it. Him saying goodbye. Class guy. He's been a class act all the way, and you wish him really well.
Yeah, he's handled a tough situation about as good as you can, Pat.
Yep.
And never – I know the one time he did go off script, and everybody agreed with him. he's the kind of guy who's come right back and apologize for it. So he's been a pro's pro in that sense of handling what is, like he said, a really tough job with obviously guys like us, doing former players, doing analyst work and always questioning whether he can get the ball out fast enough or read a defense. Mm-hmm. And he's got to hear all those things. And as Mully just said, he's been all class.
Yeah. And I've got a lot of respect for him for that, mm-hmm. especially. That's big. The other one is the way his teammates talk about him. I just think being a good teammate is important, especially at that position. And I've got a good feeling about him potentially if he goes somewhere else for his future. If he stays here, we'll see. And, yeah, I've been hard on him. I get texts, tweets, all that kind of stuff. But, guys, I want greatness. I don't want to sit here at the end of the season and talk about the great offseason we're potentially going to have. I want to talk about playoffs. And that's a quarterback is the person that does that. He hasn't done that in 3 years. To me, he has not proven right now that he is the guy that the Bears can hang their hat on to get you with sustained success for the rest of his career or the next 10 years or 8 years or whatever it is. So I still have a big question mark next to him. I had one coming in this year, and it's still sitting there, you know, right here on my iPad, you know, Justin Fields question mark, man. I just don't know yet. And I wish he was the answer. And I do have a lot of respect for him. Maybe he goes on somewhere else and has some success. Maybe it's here. Maybe a new offensive coordinator can unlock him. But, you know, he's had a good young career as a good young quarterback so far as a person. I want to see more out of him as a player.
Mm-hmm. Pat, hit save on that question mark now. I don't want to lose that one.
I know. I won't.
We want to give a thank you to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering great food for today's game and all season long. Download the Aurelio's app. Start earning rewards. Visit aureliospizza.com to order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, it's the sauce. And much appreciated their sponsorship and everything they've done this year. I want to quickly thank you guys for edifying me throughout the season. Really, it's been a joy to be here and to talk Bears football with you. We now have the schedule. You can go check Brad Biggs on Twitter, and he'll tell you every opponent they have for next year. They did indeed finish in last place in the NFC North, so we know they will play the opponents, and we also have the 2024 schedule. We don't know who they'll play. We know we only know who they'll play, not when they'll play them. So if you're interested in making a road trip, they're going to Arizona, Houston, Indianapolis, San Francisco, or Washington. And they're home to Jacksonville. They got more home games. Jacksonville, the Rams, Seattle, Tennessee, Carolina, and New England.
Molly, thank you, man.
Yes.
You make it easy to do the job.
Do.
And Pat, you've been a great teammate since 98.
I was going to say that, man. It's been always fun to be your teammate. And here's to a good offseason. Here's to the new direction of the Chicago Bears.
Or intellectual instruction.
Yes. I'm going to go home and crack a long snapper IPA and cheers this offseason off the right way.
I'm going to go home, get to bed quickly,
yes,
and try to get up in the morning. And Olin, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And Pat, you're on this week.
I'll be on Wednesday this week. Nothing
will change. No. Guys, great stuff. Thanks a ton. Thank you, Sean Sears, for a great job tonight. And God bless all. Thank you for listening. It means a lot to us.
Suck. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.